is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
But I want to get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
After all, a bunch of slaves. Bunch of slaves.
What we need in the United States is not violence.
Of Anti-Media Radio live from San Diego, California. It is 8 p.m. here on the West Coast. My name is S.M. Gibson. I'm live from San Diego, California. I'm joined with Nick Burnaby, the editor-in-chief of Anti-Media.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad to have you here, man.
Yes, sir. We're typically in Birmingham, Alabama on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but I somehow managed to make it out to the West Coast with the beautiful weather, and I hate everyone out here for it, but that's okay.
You're just jealous, man.
That's all it is. I mean, clearly, that's 100% true. But, you know, everybody can be free, but screw you people with y'all's weather. So we just got done watching the Democratic debate, among many other things in the news tonight. Bernie Sanders against Hillary Clinton. The farce was in full effect this evening. Bernie Sanders, who I'm, you know, not personally a big fan of, I will admit that he destroyed Hillary Clinton. Destroyed her. I think that everything Hillary Clinton said tonight, if somehow we magically woke up tomorrow, for instance, the gay marriage issue, and she's all like, you know, I hope everybody, I'm for it, it's great. If we woke up tomorrow, Nick, do you believe that tomorrow, and everybody was magically like, oh, no, screw the gay people, can't do this anymore, within 5 seconds, she would be, yeah, oh, no, I'm against it.
She's not principled. She kind of blows with the wind, you know what I mean? And that's what Hillary Clinton is. That's what she does, you know? She voted in favor of the Iraq war when all that propaganda was going, and that was the cool thing to do. And, you know, that is one of the big differences between her and Sanders. Sanders stood against the Iraq war when he was one of the very few people in Congress that was against it, you know? And you know, as much as Bernie Sanders has a bunch of stuff. He believes in big government, and he thinks that government's going to solve all our problems. I disagree with him on a lot of that stuff.
This is something we were talking about. I don't have a problem with the criticisms Bernie Sanders has with our country. I have a problem with what he believes will fix it.
Yeah, but the cool thing about Sanders is he's consistent, man, and he believes the shit that he's saying. Clinton doesn't believe a damn thing. She just says
Say there's a cool thing about Sanders because Sanders believes in more government. And I think when you say more government, you can't say that's cool. But I do agree with his criticisms. I do. I think he's spot on when he's talking about the banks. The stuff he said about Henry Kissinger tonight was completely spot on.
Yeah, and that's where he really strung her up on is on the Kissinger remarks. And she had a lot of trouble trying to defend her praise of Henry Kissinger when he's responsible for war crimes, genocide in Cambodia, regime change in South America. I mean, you want to talk about helping out minorities, which was a lot about what this debate was the topic of this debate tonight. Well, you know, Hillary Clinton's policies, not only with her support of Kissinger and her respect for him, but also the funding for the prison complex, which she helped push through in the 90s thanks to her husband, you know, that was one of the biggest setbacks for
Monica Lewinsky wasn't the only thing getting screwed in the 90s.
Exactly. It wasn't only Monica Lewinsky. It was minorities in the United States being screwed by Bill and Hillary Clinton. And now she wants to turn around and say that she's going to be the one that helps minorities when she was part of the problem of why they are in such a bad place to begin with.
Look, you're clearly a sexist. You clearly do not like Hillary Clinton because she's a woman. She's clearly the most principled person up there. And regarding our sexism and our hate for Hillary Clinton, purely because she's a woman, clearly, because that's, you know, it's not because she's a lunatic. Let's bring on our guest for the evening. Ladies first, Miss Claire Burnish. Everybody knows Claire from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday on Anti-Media Radio. Claire, how are you?
Well, it sounds like you're sick of me, but I'm good. How are you?
Nobody. That's not possible. Nobody's sick of
me. I'm jealous that you're out there where there's, you know, weather that's not white sky, snow, and freezing cold.
Oh, yeah, it's great. They don't even know what they have. They're all
delusional.
And as you will remember, usually in studio with me tonight on the other side of the country. Hopefully we'll get him over here soon. Our producer, Mr. Shannon Madden. Shannon.
Good evening, everybody. How is everybody? And Claire, if Scotty Dare even dares whispers that he doesn't want you on the show, I'm going to punch you right in the mouth.
Right. Square in the teeth. He'll do it, too. Shannon's a jerk.
I really will. Yeah, I'm crazy.
Oh, yeah, he's crazy. So, I don't know if the two of y'all saw the debate, because I'm pretty sure both of you are on the same page of it's a big show and you don't care, and I'm okay with that. But real quick, just because they're shoving the Hillary agenda down people's throat right now, the moderators came back and acted like Hillary did this great job when obviously she didn't, and obviously it was a media ploy, the same way they did with Rubio, the same way they did with Romney in 2012, the same way they did with Obama in 2008. We see who they're pushing through, regardless of what you actually see on that stage. Claire, I know you have some very strong opinions about Hillary Clinton, and tell us why you're a complete sexist, self-loathing woman, and why you don't want her to be president.
Because she's a warmonger who basically ignored or excused the fact that there was ethnic cleansing going on in Libya, and because she accepts money from for-profit prisons, and because she accepts, you know, speaking fees, or actually demands speaking fees from these huge banks that have ruined the economy and are probably going to do it again. And because she doesn't, like, you know, like you were saying, that she doesn't even really believe what she talks about, I don't find any worth in voting for her at all. I just don't.
So you're telling me there's reasons to dislike her other than whatever she comes up with that day? Whatever reasons you're attacking her?
There is a list a mile long. But those are the main.
She's a Democrat, so people hate her because of that. Or she's Bill Clinton's wife. Oh, people hate her because of that. She's just a woman. People hate her because of that.
Yeah, you know what else is a mile long? And that's the trail of the dead behind Hillary Clinton's campaign march to the White House. Oh, did I say that out loud? Sorry, y'all.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's one of the very, very few points that I agree with Donald Trump on. He actually said Hillary Clinton is responsible for hundreds of thousands of deaths. And I agree with him on that. She is, because she's supported the war in Libya, which has now cost at least 50,000 lives. I mean, she was a part of the campaign to try to conduct regime change in Syria, which now has cost 250,000 lives. I mean, she voted for the war in Iraq, which has cost arguably over 1 million innocent lives, not even counting enemy combatants and terrorism and all that stuff. So, yeah, she's got a trail of dead bodies just falling out from behind her.
It's Foster.
Yeah. Yeah, and she gets away with it. No one ever calls her on that stuff. And anyone, you know, anything that goes on that seems
Who wants to, Nick? If you call her out on that, you're gonna wind up dead.
hey, Shannon, are you sitting
yes.
down? Because I'm about to say something, and you know me very well. And you're going to need to be sitting down for what's about to come out of
it. I'm sitting down. I sat down the moment you said sit down.
Okay. I heard something today. I want to punch myself for saying this. Come out of Donald Trump's mouth that I agreed with.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Nick, I'm going to hang up now.
Wait, hold on. Nick, show me this
yeah.
video.
Thank you, everybody. Good night. That's Anti-Media. We're out.
Nick showed me the video, and I'm going to let Nick explain it to you because I think he's more eloquent than I'll come across in explaining it.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was a clip that came out earlier, either today or yesterday, where Trump was talking about foreign policy, and he was actually talking about how regime change is a bad idea. for the basically the gist of what he was saying. And he actually brought up Libya, Gaddafi. He brought up Saddam Hussein, Iraq, and how all those
they become vacuums of terror.
Yeah, exactly. How those regime changes end up creating much more of a problem than they first were. You know, we
and ironically enough, it's exactly what Bernie Sanders said tonight.
Yeah,
like Trump and Sanders said the exact same thing.
Pretty much, yeah. I think Trump and Sanders agree on this. I think they're both. Neither one of them have much of a. They don't have much of much ground to stand on foreign policy. Obviously, Trump doesn't have any policy history. Bernie Sanders is kind of wishy-washy on foreign policy.
They're very watered-down version of Ron Paul.
Yeah, and the good thing, though, is that these two candidates are actually talking about how regime change is a bad idea, because for the most part, regime change historically in the United States has been a bad idea. And that's why, you know, it's really nice to see these candidates actually talk about that stuff. Now, watching that debate tonight, when Hillary Clinton started talking about regime change, her face lit up like a Christmas tree. That was like the first time I saw her smile the whole debate when she started talking about regime change and how awesome it is. And her only rebuttal to Bernie Sanders was that he indirectly supported regime change in Libya as well. You know, and so Hillary Clinton is relatively proud of her regime change in Libya. She's proud of the stuff that she's done in Syria. She's proud of the supporting of the Iraq war. And, you know, that should tell you everything you need to know about Hillary Clinton. She's a warmonger. She's bloodthirsty. And she has no regrets about what she's done to all those
countries. None whatsoever. Both middle fingers in the air.
Sexist. Sexism.
Now, we all know I'm a sexist pig. I'm Alabama man. Come on now.
And that's why you won't support Hillary.
Or absolutely. Yeah, that one sole reason, because I don't want no woman in the White House. Just like that Obama feller. See how that change worked out for you. But in all reality, it's more of the same. There is no change here. And I don't care on either side of the fence, even as crazy as Trump. There's no real change here. It'll still be business as usual.
I want to kind of shift gears here a little bit. We're going to come back to the election. And
do we have to?
Well, you know me. I it's like talking about Vincent Mann. You know, New Day rocks. I get it. It's great.
True that. Steve. True that.
Claire, I want to talk about something that's very important, should be national news right now. I don't think it's making the headlines that it should, is the story about the city of Cleveland sending a hospital bill, ambulance bill, however you want to phrase it, to Tamir Rice's family for $500, because apparently now the state of Ohio and the city of Cleveland charges you $500 to kill an innocent 12-year-old child. It's not enough to kill your innocent 12-year-old child. We're going to charge you for it, too.
Yeah. So they actually filed this in court. It was a claim, a creditor's claim in probate court for $500 for the ambulance and emergency services, basically, that did not save the child's life after the city essentially shot and killed him. This was like the second huge insult to injury. At one point, they had filed something with the court that said that Tamir had caused his own death. So this was the second screw-up, big, big screw-up, and absolutely and utterly absurd. I did hear later on in the day, though, that apparently the claim never should have been filed. It never should have actually even ended up in paperwork at all.
Well, Claire, and here's the thing, Claire, real quick. I've just got to get this out of the way. We discussed it on here before, but for those who don't know, Ohio is an open carry state. So even if they thought that this 12-year-old was a grown man, like they say, even if they thought it was a real gun, like they say, guess what? Still breaking no law.
Yeah. It's not as if he, you know, drew this toy gun on anybody or anything. He was standing there in the park, and the cop rolled up and a municipal court judge found that he examined the video and found that the cop literally jumped out of the car and shot Tamir Rice while the car was still rolling.
There's a YouTube video of it. I've seen it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was the judge and two independent expert, I guess, video people, analyzers, sort of like analysts, looked at the video and found that there was no possible justification for this murder. So Officer Lohman should have been charged with murder. I mean, everybody was, you know, it's obvious. But he was not. So there was that insult. And then there was the filing saying that Tamir somehow caused his own death. And then there was this hospital bill for charges that didn't save him that was piled on top of that. And then the city comes out today and says, oh, we're sorry, that never should have been filed. I don't understand how this family is surviving and not losing their minds. This is just absurd.
They're obviously very strong people.
Yes, very.
You know, a lot stronger than I'd probably be in that situation, to be quite honest with you.
I mean, I don't know how Cleveland, the whole city, is not losing its mind right now. You know what I mean? I mean, this is
what
just
is this? But in all honesty, like, I get your point on that, Nick. But the city of Cleveland, why is the United States, our entire country, not blowing up over this? Look, I've talked about this many times. Michael Brown, Darren Wilson, we don't have video. No one will ever know what happened. We think we know. We think we know who was guilty. We think. Nobody saw it. Tamir Rice, on tape, see it happen, 12-year-old child, shot dead for no reason. And yet everybody's like, whatever.
Yeah, it's
well, or worse, or they blame him. They find reasons. Well, he shouldn't have been playing with this toy gun in a park, you know, or whatever.
It's the same people that make these excuses. If it was their 12-year-old child holding a BB gun and shot dead by a cop, they would be freaking out.
Yes. And
well,
like
I think we're all really dancing around the bigger issue here. I mean, let's call it what it is. The fact that Tamir Rice was an African-American child and the cop that shot him was white. And unfortunately, we're seeing that so often. It's so easy to just throw the race card down.
I don't want to hear that. That guy's a scumbag. He's a murderer. And he should be in prison for the rest of his life.
Absolutely.
The thing that gets me, and you brought up the point, but this is the sticking point for me. This is Ohio, and it's an open carry state, and Tamir Rice was just standing there and was shot and killed, and you have John Crawford, the same thing, was walking around in a store with something that he picked up in the store that was, you know, not a real gun, and he was shot and killed. I mean, this, I think it has to be about race. I don't see how it could not be about race, and I hate to bring that up because I don't want it to be that, but I don't understand how this happened. It doesn't make any sense.
I don't disagree with you because the statistics would suggest you're 100% right. I mentioned this to Nick earlier, and this was more about incarcerations, because when you see, I mean, you do have to remember there are people of, you know, Caucasian that are killed by cops that are unarmed, and Shannon knows this very well, about how attached I got to Derek Cruz case in Florida. He was white, a cop shot him in the face, 6 o'clock in the morning, for absolutely no reason, in basketball shorts, no shirt, no gun, no nothing. Just blew his head off. So it happens, but I would like to see, instead of this race or that race, if you take it just from an economic point of view, how many people are going to jail or being shot that are in an economic bracket versus white skin versus black skin? And I don't know what the difference would be. I mean, it may be huge. But I would be curious to see that stat versus just the color of your skin, because I can tell you right now that in Birmingham, there's a city called Mountain Brook, which is all rich people. Here in San Diego, there's Coronado, which is all rich people. You know those people aren't getting arrested or shot, and if they did, there'd be heavy repercussions. But if it's, you know, somebody like Derek Cruz in Florida, if they're poor and they don't have the means to defend themselves, you know, legally after the fact, there's no justice.
Yeah, I think one of the main issues here is that I think the violence is spread relatively evenly from cop to the poor community, right? The difference in the statistics is that minorities are a much higher percentage of by a much higher percentage are poor.
Right.
You know, and so you got a much higher percentage of the Black and Latino community that are living in poverty, and therefore they live in these areas where there's extremely heavy, quote unquote, broken window policing going on, where there's just cops roaming around at all times looking for people to arrest or looking for people to bust, looking for people to pull over. Meanwhile, out in the suburbs, out in the middle class areas, you know, you see a cop once every, you know, 3 days maybe or whatever, where meanwhile, when you're living down in the hood, you're seeing a cop three times an hour, you know, and there's where you have the discrepancy there. Now, I believe by the statistics, sheer statistics, there are more white people in poverty in the country. Per capita, you know, minorities make up a much higher percentage of people living in poverty. And that's where you're probably seeing a lot of the discrepancies there. Now, at the same time, I think that a lot of the cops are doing a lot of racial profiling as well. And you know, they see this 12-year-old boy, Samir Rice, black kid in a park with a BB gun. I mean, and they just roll up and gun him down without a second thought. It's just ridiculous.
Here's the deal, and I harp and harp and harp on this. This is what is wrong with our society. I have a huge problem that Samir Rice was killed. Huge, huge, huge. But I do understand if you have a bunch of people that have come back from war or whatever, they have this chip on their shoulder and they're policing the world and they're on this power trip and they're carrying a gun. I understand. Like, I live in the real world. I'm realistic. I know somebody at some point is going to get killed. I get that. My huge problem is when that happens, everybody's like, nah, it was the kid's fault. He didn't do anything wrong. We'll send him on his way back to his job. He's a murderer at that point. A murderer. And people excuse it. That is a way bigger problem. That is a problem with society, that they justify murder because of his occupation.
I agree. I agree with you. And, you know, I have to say this. I really have to say this. And this is a much bigger issue than obviously we can have in one conversation, but it comes down to the entire pervasive culture that is based on war and aggression and violence, and we train police in a military style that's proven ineffective, and like 95% of the country is cops are trained that way. If you train them to view everybody as the enemy and the other and suspiciously, then of course you're going to end up with these problems. I mean, what else could possibly be the outcome?
Okay, so do you blame as much, do you blame the, okay, I'm trying to think of the best way to word this, because obviously the cop that pulls the trigger is at fault, but are you also blaming the society around the cops, the training they're receiving, that maybe if you get some idiot cop in there that really doesn't know better, they believe this is the enemy, because that's the way they were trained. And it's more of a systematic issue, or do you think it's just some young cop that's an idiot and pulls the trigger on a 12-year-old kid?
Well, of course there are some idiot cops out there, but I'm saying it's more pervasive than that. This is a whole systemic issue that goes from the top government down, like the way that we...
Well, clearly, because the cops are getting off. Like, they killed Eric Garner on tape, no problem. Killed Tamir Rice on tape, no problem. You know.
Yes. But that kind of... It not only would that not necessarily happen if we weren't such a violent society, like hegemonically speaking in terms of our foreign policy and everything else, if we didn't have that going on at the very top and, you know, trickling down to every possible square inch of the society, then none of this would be acceptable, and you wouldn't find people justifying the shooting murder of a 12-year-old child in a park with a play gun.
Exactly, and I think you're right. And also, I mean, this also leaks into this phenomenon of Americans gunning, you know, mass shootings. And the phenomenon of mass shootings in the United States also stems from this militaristic, you know, violence solves everything mindset that is programmed into us from the moment we start watching TV when we're 3 years old, right?
And I agree.
Hey, the Terminator took care of business. What do you want?
Exactly, you know, and Arnold Schwarzenegger's the hero for these kids.
He was governor of your state!
Yeah, and he was.
Oh man, governor of the largest, greatest state in the nation.
You elected a guy from Austria to run your state.
Yes, you did.
Well done. Your fault.
I didn't vote for the guy, so I can't be held liable for that. But you know, the thing is that we live in this society where it's violence solves everything. As long as it's the good guys against the bad guys, and as long as it's the cops against the criminal, and as long as it's our military against Iraqis, and, you know.
Let me tell you what it is. Not only do the people with a God complex have a God complex, the people that are supposedly the proles walking around in society also have the same God complex for the people that have the God complex. They look at them, they look at the government like God. So what it is you have, it's all people. Nobody sees it as people. They see it as their government. They're here to keep me safe and take care of me. But when government gets out of line and does something really screwed up, really messed up, they're just like, but they're here to take care of me. I can't let this illusion fade in my head and think, oh, we've all been taken for a ride here. I can't admit that to myself. So I'm just going to say, they were doing what they had to do.
Well, you know, and I think you're touching on something very important there. I think that was the thought process that went behind the decision not to indict the officer that shot Tamir Rice.
How do you not indict him? How do you not indict him? Like, on what planet do you not indict him? It's on tape.
I think you just spelled out the mindset behind it. I really do.
Like, I genuinely think Darren Wilson should have been indicted. That's my personal opinion. But my personal opinion is not fact. Tamir Rice, there's a tape, it's fact.
It's a tape, and you know, and it's funny that they had to bring experts to see exactly what we all saw on the video, is the car roll up, where not even get completely into park.
I mean,
and jumps out and murders him.
Exclude Helen Keller from that.
Wait. Do you have eyes? Okay, you're an expert on this.
Right.
Part. Yeah.
Think about it this way, though. Think about it this way. If you're trying to figure out how people justify things at this point, with what I'm talking about being this absolutely saturated, pervasive culture of violence, and where war is acceptable and militarism is acceptable and actually expected, people are a bit in a zombie-like state. You know, it's like they have come to expect it to the point. Well, they've come to expect it to the point where it's like they don't even realize they're justifying something so absurd.
But it's there because the government tells them in one way, shape, or form, whether it's police and Tamir Rice or it's some, you know, ISIS member or some Muslim overseas, whatever, you know, the rhetoric is today, they're going to hurt you. They're going to hurt your family, and we're going to keep you safe. And if you have to give up all your rights and all your freedoms, that's okay, because we're taking away your freedoms so you can have freedom and so we can promote freedom. That's the lie.
Hey, look, and sometimes when you make an omelet, you gotta break a few Tamir Rices. I mean, you know, it's not a perfect system, right?
And that's sad.
Yeah, just don't worry about that. That's the past that happened. Hey, he's not even a white person. Don't even worry about that right now. Freedom. And that's pretty much, that's it.
If it's just a race issue, then why in the world was the cop let off for killing Derek Cruz? Explain that. If it's just a race problem.
Well, now, and you're absolutely right. It is more as far as the, you know, the white folks who get caught up in it. I mean, it's definitely a socioeconomic thing. And with Nick pointed out earlier, the fact that minorities are already hamstrung from the moment go, as far as job opportunities and economic opportunities, being able to grab and seize the American dream. And I'm not saying that it's not available to minorities, but you and I both know from Birmingham, Alabama, about the good old boy network. The good old boy network is going to protect its own. And don't you worry about them, folks. We're going to take care of our own.
I mean, there's a lot of path out because Barack Obama didn't come from money. He's the president of the United States. I don't want Ben Carson to become president of the United States, but I know he came from nothing and did become a very well-known, you know, neurosurgeon.
Absolutely. Those opportunities are there if for anybody that reaches out and teases them. But in the lower class socioeconomic, you know, little caste system that we are, the dregs of society, you know, those opportunities are few and far between. You know, there should be millions and millions of Ben Carsons, and sadly, there's not.
I'd let him operate on my brain. I don't even run the country.
And
I think, you know, that's a great point. You know, and it is, I think it is an economic issue. And this is where, you know, Bernie Sanders does make some fair criticisms regarding the issue of minorities being, you know, not having access to the American
dream.
They
say I'm okay with Bernie's criticism.
Yeah, and on that end, he makes a lot of sense. And I think that's where we need to, for one, I mean, the issue of militarized policing is obvious, right? That needs to be addressed, and we need to control that and figure that out. The other thing is that, you know, the people of minority backgrounds need to be more empowered in the economic system here. I mean, shit, everyone's struggling right now, but especially minorities. I mean,
but
segregation only ended a couple generations ago, man.
Segregation hasn't ended.
It hasn't ended, but officially it's ended a couple generations ago.
Self-segregation still exists in this world.
Yeah, segregation is worse now than it was before, but...
Well, I won't say it's worse, but it still exists, and it's self-segregation, and a lot of it is socioeconomic.
Yeah, and so, you know, that's why we have minorities trapped in this vicious cycle, is because the institutional oppression was going on for so long, it's barely starting to come to an end. And, you know, it's going to take a long time for people to catch up to the rest of the country that's already been having these kind of rights and privileges, whatever you want to call them, forever, you know. And so there's a lot of work
entitlement
needs to be done. Yeah, entitlement. You know, a lot of work needs to be done to address that kind of stuff. And until we do, we're going to still be running into these issues of Tamir Rice and Eric Garner and John Crawford and all these kind of horrific things going on. You know, we're going to keep running into these things.
It's sad. I mean, and again, I understand these things are going to happen, as horribly sad as they are. How you let somebody off? That's a society problem. It's like when we talk about the problem with people that are running for president. Hillary Clinton's evil. Okay, fair enough. We can agree on that. I think most of the people running for president are probably just complete lunatics. But really, do these people have any power or control? No, Donald Trump can get up there and say whatever crazy thing he wants. It's irrelevant. Now, when you have a crowd of people screaming, build that wall, all lives matter, then you have a problem because there's a mob behind it. You have to remember David Duke, who is an openly member of the Ku Klux Klan, ran for president. And you know what that affected? Nothing, because everybody thought he was a joke. It's not the people, it's the mob behind the person and the rhetoric of what they're saying. And that's...
Well, here's the difference between Donald Trump and David Duke. Have you seen Donald Trump's poll numbers recently? How well he fared in Iowa and New Hampshire? Donald Trump is here. And the scary part about it is that the rhetoric that he's preaching and the rest of the world is hearing, man, that's downright scary if you're the average American, because, I mean, he is one of every candidate that is preaching the beginning of World War III. Well, except for, you know, Donald Trump's cool with Putin, but, you know, he's not cool with anybody else, especially if they're not the same color.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here, and this goes back to what Nick said earlier. How do you feel about Donald Trump saying we shouldn't be intervening in other countries and overthrowing countries because it's not in our financial, business, whatever interest?
Oh, that sounds great. It seems like I've heard that from somebody He's president now, Barack Obama.
Ironically, George W. Bush said the same thing in 2000 that we weren't going to place.
Man, it's funny. I mean, that's a popular line.
Yeah, it's a talking point. It's a universal talking point.
Not for Hillary. Hey, you got to at least admit she's sticking to her warmonger.
Yeah, at least Hillary's openly a warmonger. You know, Bernie Sanders tonight in the debate, for the first time I've heard him actually saying that he probably wouldn't topple Assad in Syria. I mean, before, you know, this is a change of rhetoric from him. I've heard him talk about supporting the Saudi agenda in Syria. Tonight he was saying maybe it's not a good idea to regime change over in Syria.
Seems like Bernie Sanders has been checking his Facebook page.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know,
I mean, that's what it boils down to.
But you mentioned it earlier, Nate.
It is a popular talking point. Like you said, Bush ran on that. Obama ran on that. You know, now Trump is saying it, and Bernie is saying it. Hillary Clinton isn't, and the rest of the Republicans aren't.
Cruz,
but
Rubio, and who cares about the rest?
Yeah, I mean, Rubio and Cruz aren't I guess
Hillary, Cruz, Rubio, they're the same candidate, all three of them.
They are. I mean,
man, if Hillary was about 20 years younger, her and Rubio together, they could rule the world. You want to talk about a dynasty? Oh, man.
To me, if you're just talking the game of politics and taking yourself out of that this is actually going to affect your life in some way, and you just look as a spectator, Rubio's in way over his head. He is not ready for this.
I don't know. He looks bound and determined. Nick has been preaching Rubio since day one. That's his pony in the GOP. My pony's just about all but out. Poor Jeb. Man, poor Jeb.
Hey, but your guy, Vermin Supreme, got fourth in the New Hampshire primary.
There's more of that. There's more of that coming, baby. You just wait. There is way more of that. Supreme 16, fear the boot.
As long as Jeb Bush is keeping those low poll numbers and he's still being an idiot making me laugh, I'm all about it. Exclamation point.
I saw a video today. He tried to throw a snowball at a guy, and the snowball disintegrated before it came out of his hand.
God bless you, Jay.
I mean, I wish D's Nuts would be on the ballot. You know, he had a really good perform, and he had my full support. But
see, that's crazy. Vermin Supreme look, D's Nuts ain't going to give you a pony. Are you crazy? You would vote for D's Nuts over Vermin Supreme? I trust you no more. A free pony.
Pony sounds pretty good.
And look, free. I know we don't want the government getting involved in our lives, but mandatory toothbrushing laws, I'm okay with that. I don't want to go to the grocery store and smell some rancid breath on me.
I'd rather...
Yeah, but at the same time, I like the psychology behind that, though. Because a free pony, think about all the education people would get if you actually had to take care of a pony. You had your own pony every day.
Telling you.
And you had to clean up after it and feed it and learn things about it and teach it tricks. And man, I want a pony.
You know, a free pony sounds a lot better than a very expensive World War III, and that's what most of these other candidates are pretty much offering us up.
I'd rather have a free pony than free college because Bernie's going to make college worthless. It's going to become the equivalent of a high school diploma, and it's going to mean nothing. That pony is still going to get you from point A to point B, period.
Yeah, you know, and the ironic thing about the whole free college stuff is that, you know, we're already having trouble now with people who have been to college. I know... S.M. Gibson, you've been to college and stuff. I had a brief stint in college and stuff, and it never really helped.
Roll Tide!
I know I do have some friends that apply their college degree, but I have plenty of other friends that have degrees that they can't use. You know what I mean? And so
that's
the
thing. Like, here's the thing about Bernie that blows my mind. He's on stage. He's giving these great criticisms. He's like, we've got all these people that are getting out of college and high school diplomas, and they're all worthless, can't get a job. So we're going to fix it by giving people free college. It's like, dude, that's literally the opposite of what you should be doing. You just said that people can't get a job now after paying $100,000 for a degree. So what are you – and people with a high school diploma is completely worthless. So your idea is to make a college degree the equivalent of a high school diploma because it's for free, so everybody should get it. Wrong answer, Bernie. And that's where he loses me on all his solutions. I think his critiques are on point. But when he talks about fixing it, he goes off into space to me.
Yeah, it's...
I'm sorry, I went off into space just thinking about it. forgive me for a moment.
Anybody, yeah. Anybody, whether it's Trump, Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, if their answer is give me and or, in Bernie's case, the government more control and it's going to be okay, wrong answer. Bernie Sanders was the chairman of the Senate Committee for Veteran Affairs in 2014. Veteran Affairs, most people may know as the VA. The chairman of the Senate Committee of the VA. Last time I checked, the VA is doing wonderful, wonderful things. It's working fantastically. So why not put that guy in charge of their entire healthcare system? Because I'm sure his ideas are going to work out great.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's a good point. And still, at the end of the tunnel here, we're going to be stuck with one of these candidates, right? And someone's going to be elected in 2016.
I believe this is, and me and Nick were talking about this earlier. I mean, with what we have in front of us, that's all we have to work with, and we can't go outside the lines here. I really believe if there's Republican-controlled Congress, it's better to have Bernie as president because nothing will get accomplished. If you have a Democrat-controlled Congress, it's better to have Trump as president because nothing will get accomplished.
Well, I've got to ask a quick question here, and we'll do a little roundtable poll. Which candidate that is still standing right now is the worst? Claire, you go first.
Is that a trick question?
Yeah, I kind of
No, no trick question. There are no wrong answers. I just want everybody's honest opinion. Who is the worst one standing right now?
All of the above.
That's a oh man, that's a bitch move. Yeah,
I could not possibly vote for any of these people.
I'm not saying that who you're going to vote for. I mean, I think it's pretty clear among all of us. I can't with good conscience go to the polls.
Saying that one is worse than the other is like saying that any of them are better, and none of them are. They all tie for last place in my book.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Nick, what's your
scariest? Trump is the scariest.
Okay. See, that's what I was looking for. You didn't have to dance around it. Just come out with it. You're afraid of getting banned on Facebook too?
The candidate that scares me the most is Marcum Rodham Cruz.
Oh man, to me, it's there's two candidates that scare me a lot. I'm not that afraid of Sanders. I'm not that worried about Trump. Although I think Trump, I think there's two directions. Trump could either be a lot worse than what we think he is, or he could just be saying a bunch of crazy shit because he knows how crazy Republicans are and he's just trying to get elected. And then when he gets into office, he's just going to, he's smart enough to know that banning Muslims is bad for the economy and that all that stuff is just rhetoric that he's using to get elected.
Shannon, you're from the South. You're around a lot of evangelicals in that system of politics. You see it.
Oh, yeah.
We have a guy running for president that called on camera Ted Cruz, who's Mr. Evangelical, whatever, he's, Jim Jones in my book, but whatever, drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Called
him a pussy. Jerry Falwell endorses him, and he wins by twice the amount of second place. I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy.
It really is. But, in my book, the most frightening candidate is Hillary Clinton.
I honestly do not see a difference in
reason,
Rubio Cruz.
The reason why I think Hillary Clinton is a frightening candidate is because she will get her policies rammed through. Because she'll broker deals, she'll make deals with Congress. Now
everybody hates her.
All the voting Republican population, the public.
If the Republicans
have
control of the Congress, she will literally accomplish nothing.
No, I think I'm with Nick on this one. I think I see where Nick's going with this. I really do.
I agree. A lot of the most dangerous issues, including foreign policy, I think she can network together with Republicans.
You're right.
I think she, you know, she agrees on the TPP. I mean, now she's rescinded her agreement on that. But in essence, if she were to become elected, she would sign it. I don't think Bernie Sanders would. Donald Trump, I don't think he would sign the TPP either. He's already criticized it and stuff. I think Hillary Clinton is the most dangerous candidate. I don't think she's going to win. And therefore, by default, the most dangerous candidate is whoever the moderate establishment Republican that the nominee, whoever the chosen one is going to end up being. I thought it was going to be Rubio. After that debate slip, it might not be him. It might be Kasich. It might be.
It's not.
I hope it's not
John Kasich. Let's get over
that. I hope not.
Not happening.
But, you know. No.
Yeah, I don't even know why he's still a thing.
The candidate is going to be, I think, is going to be the most dangerous person out there. So I guess we're going to have to wait and see what actually happens.
I mean, we will have to wait and see. I think, honestly, it's a sad state of affairs, but I think Claire hit the nail on the head. They're all really, really horrible.
So I think we're back on. We've had a little bit of technical difficulties. I'm going to blame
the NSA.
Yeah, I'm blaming the Border Patrol down there because all these helicopters.
And then, yeah, maybe Trump built a firewall around our internet connection here.
Speaking of getting hosed by stuff, what's to do with all these Nestle articles getting taken down? Me and Nick are both admins on the Facebook page. Get involved, and we had a post taken down earlier about Nestle, and we all know Claire's famous story that wrote about Nestle, and that was pulled off of the front page of Reddit. It seems like any time you criticize Nestle, social media gets involved.
Well, yeah, anytime you criticize Nestle, anytime you criticize Donald Trump, I mean, shit, my last three bans have been over Donald Trump shit. You know, and it's as if there's like things that we're just not allowed to talk about. Trump is one of them. Nestle is another.
I want to get Claire's thoughts on this real quick because, you know, she was the one that had the huge Nestle story that made the front page of Reddit. And I don't know if I haven't talked to you today, Claire, about this, but we actually had a post on the Get Involved Facebook page that was criticizing Nestle, that nothing about it was wrong. It wasn't rude. It wasn't really inflammatory. It was just kind of stating fact. And it got pulled off of Facebook. And, of course, it was about Nestle. We've seen this before. It's scary to think that a corporation has that much influence on our daily lives that they can control the information you see. People don't want to admit that. Claire, you experienced it firsthand. I mean, what do you think about after what you saw and what you experienced, now hearing about they're pulling something off of Facebook for a meme that criticizes Nestle?
That doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, these corporations and the government have people who are basically paid to follow along what's going on social media all over the place, so that they can debunk or discredit or remove or report or make sure that, you know, accurate information doesn't get out. I mean, I had something pulled off of the front page of Reddit. I had one report, which I'm not even going to bring up because it is a sore spot, but was totally debunked, quote-unquote, by these scientists who are essentially paid by the corporations. I mean, this is what they do.
Funny how that works.
You justified too in a lot of things you said. I believe you were your Zika virus story was completely justified after Snopes, of all people, congratulations, idiots, came out and supposedly debunked it. But I think Snopes has been Snopes and debunked so many times at this point.
Snopes didn't actually debunk it; they just said it can't be proven
because they don't debunk anything. They just say what they want.
Yeah, I mean,
it's supposedly it's the gospel.
Snopes has been discovered and found out a long time ago that they are paid to do that. That's what their job is. But the fact that they came out in force and suddenly out of nowhere were trying to debunk that article is just, in my opinion, it's more evidence that that's what these trolls do. They are paid by these corporations and they are paid by the government to make sure that the right information does not get out. When you hit on something that is valid, when you hit on something that strikes a nerve with them, they come out in full force.
But I think you were validated in that story because now, you know, everybody's talking about that. I think you came out the information victor of the InfoWar, as Sellout Jones would say.
I just wanted to bring up a theory. I just think that when you're examining something, every side of it should be examined. When there's a problem, you have to look for a solution, but you can't do it on one side. You have to look on every side. I think people got that
wrong. Wait a minute. That means you were actually, like, you were actually reporting. You did, like, an investigative report. Wow, I've never – I mean, I didn't think people still did that.
They don't.
No, we're supposed to just take everything the Nestle or whatever, whoever it is, Monsanto we're talking about – we're supposed to just believe everything they say, even though Monsanto just got caught lying about their rebate incomes and now they owe $80 million.
Hold on. I've got a fact. Hold on real quick. Nope, Monsanto's good. Nestle's good. That's what the fact says to tell you. So all right, we're cool. All good. All
right, let's move on here.
Yeah, no problem.
These corporations never do anything wrong.
Nope.
They say so.
Hillary, 2016.
She's got my vote.
What's the fact, Ed?
Hey.
We got a fax machine. No,
we got all the kidding. Stuff we need to vote now. We got a fax from Monsanto. We got a fax from Nestle. They told us to support Hillary, and then she's saying she's completely truthful. So, well.
Has the fax from the police union come in yet? Because that's really important.
Well, no, the private prison sent one, though.
Why are we still talking about a fax machine? Like, I went back to some, like, 1998 reference. And we're talking clear. I guess it would be a
fax. Who faxes anymore? Do people still fax?
Come on, guys. We got to take everything at face value here.
I got a tweet about it. There you go. Now I'm being.
Monsanto's feeding the world. Nestle is giving us all clean water. And, you know, let's just leave it at that.
And some really.
And chocolate bars. Oh, man. A Nestle Crunch would be good right now.
Yeah, that
chocolate bars that are made with fairly paid, you know, wage workers.
Willy Wonka 2016, thank you so much for joining us on Anti-Media Radio. So Nick Burnaby, Claire Burns, Shannon Madden, it's been amazing to be back next week. Monday, me and Dan LaVon tomorrow night. I'ma let them know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.